It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in. It's a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. John Spears in studio, Monday, November 15th. You should see the other guy. I look like I was the loser in a prize fight last night. Got a big old shiner, courtesy of my grandson, Owen. He's three now, and he doesn't want to take his nap. And I'm laying there trying to get him to go to sleep. He's throwing a fit like three-year-old will do. And I turn my head for a second. I let him go for a second, and he gives me the roundhouse kick, accidental as it may have been, to the right eye. And I got me a shiner. But I'm okay. I'll play through the pain. Actually, there's no pain. It looks a lot worse than it is. But, I'm getting a lot of questions. A lot of questions. And I just say, you should see the other guy. 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation. That's the M&M Cartage hotline, 384-1450. Thornton's text line open as well. If you'd like to get a text into the show, it's 502-414-1450. Don't forget, Thorns is a perfect stop for all the best pick-me-up items you need to get your day started, like fresh coffee, delicious donuts. Visit our friends at Thornton's. Thanks for playing. We'll do that today. Winners and losers of the weekend, we'll do that as well. NFL, I still don't know what's going on. I still have no idea who's good, no idea who's bad. I do think the Raiders are not very good. I think the Raiders are in a tough spot here. They lost their coach because of his own racism and misogynistic tendencies, among other things. They lost one of their best wide receivers because he decided to drink and drive over 100 miles an hour and killed somebody. They had to release him. And I think Derek Carr sort of held the ship together for 2 weeks. Last night, the Chiefs beat the Raiders 41-14. And as it is every weekend, there's a referendum on Monday. Well, Chiefs are back. I'm not so sure. I just think everything the Raiders have dealt with finally catches up with them this weekend against the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes was great, 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. Everybody says, oh, well, look what they adjusted. Everybody said, just got to take what he's given and not try to throw everything deep, and he did it, and it worked. All right, it's 1 week. It's 1 week. And the Raiders were bound to, at some point, have a letdown. And I think that's more of what happened last night than the Chiefs being back. But again, it's 1 week. We'll see. Last Friday, the Chiefs were in last place. 4 days ago, the Chiefs were tied for last place in the AFC West. The Chiefs are now alone in first place after this past weekend's games. How about that? That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Well, tomorrow I think we'll go division by division because, I can't figure it out. The Temtem Tavern Bucket of Picks, 2 wins, 3 losses, 1 tie. I was 1-1-1 in college. LSU's overtime loss was a push. They were getting 3. But yesterday I had Arizona favored by double digits. They lose by 24. I had the Colts favored by 10.5. They held on to beat the Jaguars by 6. My winner was the Chiefs last night. So congratulations, yay me, to get to that second win somehow on another bad betting weekend. We start today. I didn't know whether to start with basketball or football. Let's go negative to start, because that's fun for me. Let's get the negative out of the way. Furman 80, Louisville 72 in overtime Friday night. I wasn't at the game. I had St. X responsibilities, so I didn't get to be there. I did have it on my stat man, the Todd Father. He had his phone out, so he had the game on his phone. So we were checking it out during timeouts and things of that nature. First home loss in November for Louisville since 1972. I'm not good at math. I think that's 49 years ago, the last time the Cards lost a home game in November. Is the Mike Pegues era over two games in here? It's going to be over six games in regardless, but is it over two games in? Do the Cards appoint somebody else head coach? I had a friend of mine Friday night late at a local drinking establishment. Well, I might as well tell you. It's Tim Tam. They're a sponsor. Look at me and said, maybe they bring Dino Gaudio back for the next four games. Yikes. Too soon? Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little too soon. And what was Chris Mack doing watching this game at home on the couch? Ugh. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. I didn't want to be sitting next to him. I didn't want him to know I was there. But I would have loved to have been, you know, lurking in the next room, sort of eavesdropping on what was going on, what was coming out of Chris Mack's mouth during that game. It could not have been good. Mike Bothwell, or Bothwell, 30 points for the Paladins, 7 of 17 from the field, 13 of 15 free throws. The Cards fouled too much. They didn't shoot the ball well. They got out-rebounded by a Furman team that should not out-rebound them. And I say this all the time. When the boss is away, you don't work as hard. You don't work as hard. It's that simple. And if you work somewhere like I did for 35 years where there's a boss and underneath the boss there are supervisors, or as college basketball likes to call them, assistant coaches, and then there are employees. And whenever the boss was there, you did your work. You worked hard. You didn't want to get in trouble. You just sort of did your thing. But when the boss took a day off or had to go out in the field somewhere and the supervisor was left to take care of you, you remember a day when the supervisor was just another employee, just like you are. And all of a sudden, yeah, I don't have to work quite as hard. I don't have to put in the time. I don't have to put in the effort that I normally would have to put in when the true boss is there. This guy's not really a boss. He's just sort of a fill-in to watch over us. That's the feeling I get with this Louisville team. Chris Mack's not there. He's not in the building. And he won't be in the building for another four games. He's not allowed to be there. Whether it was right or wrong, whether the punishment didn't fit the crime, which is pretty obvious at this point that that's the case, doesn't matter. He's not there. He's not there to yell at these freshmen or these transfers or these holdovers, any of the guys, and put a little fire under them. Give them a little energy boost by threats or whatever means necessary that a head coach will use. The supervisors are in charge, so we don't have to work as hard. And that's the situation here. That's where you're at. Cards got to play Navy tonight. Navy won at Virginia in their season opener. They're 1-1. They have lost since then. And I think the Cards should win tonight. All right? But, and this is a huge, huge but here. I like to say huge but. The truth of the matter is, they may not win. That's just the truth of the matter. It's an 8 o'clock start at the Yum Center. I am frantically looking for a spread here, and I will get it, and I will find it. Louisville is a 15.5-point favorite tonight. So, obviously, Vegas thinks the Cards will bounce back. And it's a lot easier to bounce back after a loss. Had they beaten Furman in overtime, then I would say this game tonight would be scary. But they lost that game. Losses tend to make you refocus more than close wins do, especially against opponents you're supposed to beat. Furman hit 12 of 28 three-pointers. Now, in their season opener, they hit 22 threes, albeit against North Greenville, who I've found out since is from Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know where North Greenville is. I don't know their mascot. I don't know their head coach. I don't know anything about them. I didn't even know they existed until I looked up their Furman's win after after Tuesday's games last week. I had no idea who they were. But when you hit 22 threes, I don't care if it's an empty gym. You got to guard the three. I can't imagine that Mike Pegues' first order of business in the game planning was, hey, guys, got to guard the three. Furman was 12 of 28. That is pretty good. That's pretty good. That's three out of every seven, if my math is correct. And anything over 33% is really good. That's about 43%. U of L, 7 out of 29 from long range. Not so good. Noah Locke had 20. I said this before. I like the Noah Locke addition a lot to this Louisville team. Jalen Withers had 14 and 9. Malik Williams, 3 points, 10 rebounds. I said this. I went to the West Georgia exhibition game at the Yum Center. Malik Williams still does not look healthy. He looks like he labors getting up and down the floor. And Malik Williams is a guy this team needs. Louisville got out-rebounded 43 to 41. Malik Williams had 10 rebounds. They needed him to have 15 rebounds. Jared West, 10 points, five rebounds, two assists. Samuel Williamson is just unexplainable, 2 points, 1 for 6 from the field. After 14 and 14 in the opener, Chris Mack's got a lot of work to do here with this team. And when Louisville media members, and I'm not going to call them out by names, but they know who they are, watched the first two exhibitions and went to social media telling everybody how much they liked this team and how good they thought this team was going to be and why they were going to contend for an ACC title, I said, pump the brakes here. Those are exhibition games against not very good teams. Kentucky State and West Georgia. And when in the game that I saw, the West Georgia game, my eyes were not popping, okay? It was not exciting. Yes, they're trying to get up and down the court at a quicker pace. I do like that with this team. I do like that. But you got to shoot well. You got to out-rebound Furman. And now you got Navy coming in here tonight, and believe me, Navy's not going to back down from anybody. Furman hit 20 of 26 free throws. Louisville hit 15 of 19. What does that tell me? That tells me they got 26 free throws. You got 19 free throws at home. They were the aggressor. You were not the aggressor. 36% from the field for the Cards. Defense wasn't awful other than the perimeter defense because Furman only shot 39% from the field. They shot better than that from three. So Louisville, 15.5-point favorite tonight. 8 o'clock, ACC Network if you can't make it out to the Yum Center. Here's what I want to see tonight. I want to see energy. I want to see excitement. I want to see the bench jumping up and down when somebody makes a good play. I want to see the four guys on the court helping the guy up that just took a charge, helping the guy up that just got knocked down on a layup, high-fiving the guy who just blocked a shot out of bounds or got an and one. Show some energy. Show some pep. Your head coach is not there, and he's not going to be there for four more games. Team leaders now have to bring up the energy. And I don't know who the leaders are. You would assume Malik Williams, third year as a captain, would be that team leader. Sam Williamson, maybe. He's been there, team leader. Because, again, you're not listening to the supervisor. The boss is out of the building. The supervisor, he's too close to being one of your own for you to really listen to them intently. And that's the situation Louisville finds themselves in right now. My grandson, when I tried to get him to sleep yesterday for his afternoon nap, didn't listen to me. You know why? Because I'm not his mom. I'm not his dad. When his mom and dad are around, he knows he better listen. When Pop Pop's in charge, he knows he doesn't have to listen. And that's where the Louisville basketball team finds itself right now. The boss is not around. We don't have to bring it like we normally would have to bring it. And when that's the attitude, and when that's what happens, Furman 80, Louisville 72 in overtime, that's what happens. All right, Kentucky beat Robert Morris 100-60. Not a whole lot to see here. Robert Morris is not good. They're 0-2. Kentucky had six players in double figures. Oscar Tshiebwe, 14 points, 20 rebounds, three block shots. Did you hear he had 20 rebounds in two straight games? Okay, I got it. He got 20 rebounds in two straight games. Now, that's impressive against Duke. Not as impressive against Robert Morris. I guess I shouldn't be skeptical. 20 rebounds is pretty good no matter what. It means, A, you went after the rebounds, and B, the ball bounced your way most of the night. But Oscar Tshiebwe is a difference maker on this team. I'm sure if you're John Calipari in Orlando Antigua, you are looking for him to grab those rebounds and go right back up quickly. He doesn't do that. He has to get his body where it needs to be to go back up and shoot. But so far, I think if you're a Kentucky fan, no complaints with Oscar. Or Kellen Grady, 19 points, 4 of 6 threes. All of a sudden, this looks like it's going to be a good shooting three-point team. Davion Mintz knocked some down the other night. They hit 12 of 23 three-pointers. You do that with that talent level, with that length on defense, and guys that can run the floor. If you hit 12 out of 23 threes, you're going to win just about every game you play. Kentucky shot 57% overall. Again, it was an overmatched Robert Morris team. 43-24 on the boards. Wheeler had 12 assists. Damian Collins looked like a different player because it was a different opponent. Duke made Damian Collins look like he was not ready for college basketball. Robert Morris made Damian Collins look like an All-American. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 4 block shots. Ty Washington, I thought, played well and within himself. Didn't force anything. And Keon Brooks had 13 as well. Up next tomorrow night, Mount St. Mary's, 7 o'clock, Rupp Arena on the SEC Network. Expect a little more of the same here that you got against Robert Morris. Indiana beat Northern Illinois 85-49. After that uninspiring win over Eastern Michigan, the Hoosiers look good in this one. Trace Jackson Davis, 19-7. He's an All-American. Indiana got 37 points off the bench. It was 47-20 Hoosiers at halftime. Remember, this is a Northern Illinois team that beat a Power 5 opponent, Washington, at their place in the season opener. Race Thompson had a double-double. Xavier Johnson, 13 points, 3 assists. He's there to run the show. Did a pretty good job of it on Friday night. Indiana shot 48%. They held Northern Illinois to 30.5%. So the Hoosiers look good. They got Wednesday game, St. John's coming into Assembly Hall, 9 o'clock, FS1, and you can hear it right here on the Big X on Wednesday night. Finishing off with college basketball, Minnesota beat Western Kentucky 73-69 in Asheville, North Carolina. I don't know what kind of little round-robin tournament they got going there, but there it is. Number one, Gonzaga. They had a easy win over Texas. If you stayed up late Friday or Saturday night, 86-74, 12-point win over the fifth-ranked Longhorns. Not a good weekend if you're a University of Texas fan. Number two, UCLA with a big Friday night win in overtime over fourth-ranked Villanova, 86-77. I watched a lot of that game. I still think Villanova is really good. And UCLA, they're ranked second. I was skeptical. You know, last year they were unranked going into the NCAA tournament, finished as the runners-up, or finished as a Final Four team, I should say. But that's a good UCLA team. Nobody thought Mick Cronin was the right fit at UCLA. Nobody. What are they saying now? Absolutely nothing. Florida beat Florida State yesterday, the 20th-ranked Seminoles. Took it on the chin, 71-55. So expect Florida State to be out of the top 25 this weekend. All right, we'll talk some college football on the other side. NFL will do thanks for playing as well on the other side of the break. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.
It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M.
Welcome back to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. M&M Cartage hotline is open, 384-1450, 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation. Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Download Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app today for great offers and savings on fuel every day. That's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. Download it to your iPhone or device today. 414-1450 to get your text into the show. All right, quick news and notes from Kentucky basketball again. C.J. Frederick, the Iowa transfer, now out for the year, going to have hamstring surgery. We'll see if he comes back next season. The Cats were expected to get some shooting, some much-needed shooting help from C.J. Frederick this year, along with some leadership capabilities, but he'll be out for the year. That means the Davion Mintz coming back is even bigger, and Shedon Sharp, the freshman who's going to enroll and be here in January, maybe that becomes a big-time thing as well. So just a couple of things to take note of there. All right. By the way, college football, let's get to college football. ESPN is exercising the right they have, and don't get angry here, to put a six-day hold on when they will decide what time the Kentucky-Louisville game is Saturday after Thanksgiving, November 27th. Now, normally, today would be the day we'd find out what time the game is for whatever team you're pull for a week from Saturday. But in the contract, because it's the end of the year, because ESPN wants to decide which games are most important, they put a six-day hold. They are allowed this week only to put a six-day hold on announcing what times those games will start. So we're not going to know the UK-UofL start time until next Saturday night, this coming Saturday night. So plan accordingly, or don't plan because you can't plan accordingly. It's up against Virginia Tech, I guess Florida State, and I'm guessing on this, Georgia Tech. There are some ACC games as well involved here, but I would guess 3:30. There are some bad games that might go at noon. Florida State means very little at this point. There are some ACC games that aren't very exciting, that might get shoved into that noon spot. So if I had to guess here, and don't hold me to it, folks, I would say 3:30, best bet for Louisville, Kentucky, from Cardinal Stadium on November 27th. All right, Kentucky bounces back with a win over Vanderbilt. I got a text from a friend of mine, middle of the second half. Boy, Kentucky stinks in this second half. And I sent back, look, all they have to do is win now. They're no longer in the mix for a divisional crown or a Sugar Bowl or a New Year's Day group of six bowl game, New Year's Day six bowl game. They're trying to get to the Outback Bowl or whatever bowl's left over here. They just have to win. Style points at this point, Cincinnati, style points matter. If you're Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, style points matter. Alabama, maybe. But Kentucky, they don't matter. So 31-3 at halftime. Kentucky looked great. Four possessions, four touchdowns. First four possessions they had. Will Levis, who finished 14 of 22 with 177, two touchdowns, one pick, 32 rushing yards as well. Chris Rodriguez went over 100 yards. Jatan McClain ran for 7 yards a carry. Wandell Robinson had another TD, 75 yards in receiving. Kentucky had 411 yards of total offense to 263 for Vandy. This game was never in doubt. Now, it finishes 34-17, And the people who like to place wagers might have had a problem with the way it finished because Kentucky didn't cover. But they're 7-3, which they were expected to be, which they were supposed to be coming into this week. Next week, if they beat New Mexico State 50-0 or 35-21, they're still going to be 8-3. Style points do not matter for Kentucky right now. They got Marquand McCall back. That's big, and that's big in the middle of that defensive line. They are just biding the time till that November 27th game against Louisville. That's all they're doing here. These are, I don't want to call them buys because you never, ask Texas. You never know what could happen. But these are walkover games, right? I'm going next week to watch New Mexico State. Kentucky's a 36-point favorite in this game to start out. I don't want to go to that game, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go enjoy the game, have a little fun. But the Kentucky fan who's upset, you're 7-3. It's the first time since the SEC split into divisions that Kentucky has finished second in the East by themselves. 5-3 in the Eastern Conference, Eastern Division of the Southeastern Conference. Tennessee's got four losses. Everybody else in that division has at least four losses, except a little team named Georgia. You finish second by yourself for the first time ever since the SEC split into divisions. You got a winning record in the SEC for only the second time since 1977. Try to enjoy it. I didn't understand anybody complaining after that win Saturday night. You're up 31-3 at halftime. You took care of business. That game was over. It was over. Right? Doesn't matter if you win 34-17, which you did, or if you win 55-3. It doesn't matter. Louisville beat Syracuse 41-3 on Lamar Jackson Day. They held the Orange to 184 yards. Louisville scored on their first two possessions, 14-0. And Syracuse, who loves to run the football, sort of had to abandon that a little bit, and it got ugly. 35-3, the Cards led it at the half. Malik Cunningham, 13 of 18, 209, four touchdown passes, all in the first half. He ran for another touchdown in the first half. Jalen Mitchell went over 100 yards rushing, and they spread the wealth to the receivers, five different receivers with at least two catches for the Cards. And like the Kentucky game, this one was over early. Unlike the Kentucky game, Louisville is still trying to give some style points. They still are because they're not 7-3. They're 5-5, all right? And they're going to go to a bowl game if they can beat Duke and or Kentucky. They're going to a bowl game. But they're going to one of those lower-tier games. You want the highest-tiered bowl game you can go to, bottom line. And there were some bowl representatives at the game watching both Syracuse and Louisville. You wanted to put on a show, and I think they did. I think they did. The Lamar Jackson ceremony at halftime was outstanding. I thought Vince Tyree and the Louisville staff did an unbelievable job on the video at halftime, the Lamar Jackson video they honored. Of course, his name is now up on the side of the building inside on one of the rings there. He's at one end, Johnny Unitas' name at the other end. After this season, no one will ever wear number 8 again at the University of Louisville. They brought out the Heisman Trophy at halftime. Lamar spoke. He was obviously emotional and touched by the fans that were there, the fans that gave him a rousing ovation. He was moved by the video as well and very gracious, as he always has been every time he's come back to Louisville. That was fantastic. Fantastic. Now, the crowd wasn't nearly as big as I thought it should have been. And again, it's a noon game, a cold day on a Saturday with a team that's 4-5. I get all that. It was a bigger crowd than we saw for Boston College or Virginia or even Eastern Kentucky early in the year, but not by a lot. Not by a lot. I don't know what the announced attendance was. There probably were, I would say, 40,000 in the stands. And let me tell you what, and I know it was 35-3 at halftime, Floyd Street was full after that ceremony. Central Avenue was busy after that ceremony because not a lot of people hung around. And I don't blame them. It's 35-3. You're going to win the game. The Lamar ceremony is why most of you came in the first place. Up next, quick turnaround here. Thursday night at Duke. Now, this is an interesting game because Duke coach David Cutcliffe, according to reports, is set to announce his retirement in the very near future. You don't want to see that if you're a Louisville fan, because TCU got rid of Gary Patterson in the middle of the year here, and that team rallied together at home and beat Baylor that next week. If I'm Louisville, I do not want to hear anything about David Cutcliffe retiring in the next 3 days. Because what happens? Duke, who is 3-7, comes out Thursday, plays inspired football. Oh, we got to win one for Coach Cutcliffe. And all of a sudden, you're stuck with a loss and have to beat Kentucky to get to a bowl game. You don't want that to happen. Louisville's a 19-point favorite in this game. They should beat Duke. Duke's not a good team. But Thursday night, ESPN, short turnaround, you're going on the road. And if David Cutcliffe decides to announce he's retiring at the end of this season, all of a sudden it's an emotional game. He's been there for a while now, folks. All of a sudden it's an emotional game. And that's the last thing Louisville wants to see here, is Duke inspired to play a game in which they're 3-7 coming in. You don't want that if you're a Cardinal fan. But again, there's a reason Louisville's a 19-point favorite. Duke's not very good. Thursday night, though, quick turnaround, always scary. Always scary, especially going on the road. Indiana, I didn't even want to bring it up. 38-3 to Rutgers in Bloomington. No energy, no fight, 6 turnovers, no crowd, which is to be expected, of course, when you're 2-7, now 2-8. Trailed 14-0 after the first quarter. Had got out, gained 320 to 262 in total yards. Now you got Minnesota coming to town Saturday at 3:30, Big Ten Network. The Gophers are 6.5-point favorites. Yikes. Yikes. Indiana's going to finish 2-10 because they go to Purdue at the end of the season. And I'm sure they'll play as hard as they can play, but it's one of those situations now, and we saw it in the Rutgers game, if you don't get an early lead, if you get behind early, I'm not saying guys check out, but where's the intensity? Where's the reason for playing hard? Phoenix Hill Richard says, win one for the Gipper. Yeah, I get it. I don't think Tom Allen's the Gipper. And I don't think Indiana football players think Tom Allen's the Gipper. And I'm guessing most Indiana football players don't know who the Gipper is. They're too young. But IU, look, you hope it's a throwaway year. You hope it's an anomaly. Because Indiana football was getting better under Tom Allen. Each year he was there. Better, better, better. And ranked 17th at the beginning of this season. They're now 2-8. One other college football note before we take a break. Kansas beats Texas in a game that meant nothing. 57-56 in overtime. And I give the coach credit. He went for 2 in the overtime after Texas had scored to take a 56-49 lead. Got it. The Jayhawks snap a 56-game road Big 12 losing streak. 56-game losing streak on the road. I think it dates back to 2008 or 9. Oh, Texas. Steve Sarkisian, and this is not what you want to hear from a coach in the post game. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian, Sark, said, I don't know, my players just stopped listening to me. Yikes. That's not a good sign. And Sark was supposed to be the savior of the Texas program if they let Tom Herman go. Oh, boy. right, we'll come back. Winners and losers from the weekend. We'll talk a little NFL. And as I promised you earlier, thanks for playing. That's coming up next. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Final segment of the day. The M&M Cartage hotline still open, 384-1450. Thornton's text line open as well. Get your last second text into the show, 414-1450. Texter says, this UK season reminds me of Lamar's Heisman year. After they lost to Clemson, they came crashing down to earth, which makes me think UK may lose to U of L, even though I think they should win. Yeah, that's going to be fun next week talking about that game. I'm going to wait a week because Louisville still got to play Duke Thursday. Kentucky's got, you know, somebody they should slap around on Saturday. But next week's going to be fun talking about that game because I can see it either way. Kentucky fans going to be really nervous coming up to Cardinal Stadium. They're going to be really nervous, and they should be. They should be. All right, quickly, thanks for playing. New segment I do every Monday. Today it goes to Oklahoma. Sooners were 9-0 coming off a bye in the playoff hunt here, and they did not do the College Football Playoff Committee any favors as they lose to Baylor in Waco 27-14. The vaunted Caleb Williams for Heisman campaign is now over as Spencer Rattler had to come off the bench, and the Oklahoma fans in the stands at Baylor were chanting, "We want Spencer." I say this all the time. When you have two quarterbacks, that means you don't have one quarterback. And Oklahoma and the Big 12 are essentially now out of the playoff hunt. I'll tell you what's going to get interesting. Love the Bearcats. Love Desmond Ridder, former St. X Tiger. What if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game by 7 or less? Because Alabama jumped Cincinnati in the AP poll this week, and it's now Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati in the Associated Press poll. And I know the AP poll doesn't mean anything, but what happens? Ohio State runs the table. Oregon runs the table. Georgia runs the table. But Georgia beats Alabama by not very many. Would the committee have enough gall to put Alabama with two losses into the playoff over a unbeaten Cincinnati team? And how would they explain doing that? All right, let's go to the M&M Cartage Hotline, bring in my buddy Buzz Frank. Buzz, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, John. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Probably better than you. Other than the black eye that my grandson gave me, I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, we both saw a really good high school football game on Friday night.
Yeah.
And my team came out of it on the short end, but that game was worthy of at least being a state semifinal game as opposed to where it was in the way it came out.
Yeah, I've said this all year, Buzz. Manuel and St. X are without question in my mind two of the best four teams in Class 6A in Kentucky, and it's a shame they had to play in week two because they're in the same district. But there it is. St. X won it 18-16. They got a late safety in the middle of the fourth quarter and were able to hang on. But that game could have gone either way, no doubt about it.
Yeah, my one question was late in the game up by two, and I know they were in Manuel territory, but I was kind of wondering why St. X threw that pass that was intercepted. I kind of wish I had been listening to your call of the game at that time.
The word I used, I think, was stunned. Tony Burke and I were in when the quarterback Jacksonville rolled out, and look, this kid played a great game. When
Absolutely.
He rolled out, I thought, and I'm sure you thought, there is no way he throws this ball. This is to run a little clock. He's going to run, get as many yards as he can, and he's going to slide down. I think it was 3rd and 2. He's going to slide down inbounds, make Manuel use a timeout, and he throws the interception. I was at a loss, which I'm rarely at.
I was the same way, but still, it was a great game.
Yeah.
And congratulations to the
Thank
Tigers.
You.
And I, I look forward to seeing them. I'm pretty sure they're going to go all the way to the championship game. You never know for sure.
Never know.
I'm kind of banking on that.
They've actually got a good path. You're right. They've got a pretty good – nothing against any opponent. Never want to say anything bad about an opponent. But they, from the next couple games, they got a good path to get there. Because, number one, mail's not in their way. So
that's the key. You got a chance to see the Wimsett kid down at Owensboro early in the year, and he got some playing time against IU in that game the other day, I see.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. A kid playing in high school, played one game. St. X went down and beat Owensboro. I think it was, I'm going to say 51-35. If that's not accurate, it's close. And he was great. Look, athletic, can throw the ball, throws a missile. He can run out, get away from pressure. And all of a sudden, he leaves to go ahead and enroll at Rutgers. He had enough, I guess, credits in high school to go ahead and go up there. He actually played earlier in the year at Rutgers, a couple of plays. But I've never seen anything like it. I know it's COVID-related. I know COVID's got a lot to do with a bunch of this stuff that's going on now. But I've never seen a high school player leave early in his high school senior season, go to college, and actually play that year. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But I think he's going to be a really good quarterback at Rutgers before all said and done.
I thought so, too. I never got to see him in person, but I'd read about him. And just to think that he could make that jump, and they had enough confidence to at least put him into some games to get some plays under his belt, that says a lot for the young man and his future.
He does. Yeah, he's got some talent. I will say that. No question about it. Thank you, Buzz. Good to hear from
you,
my friend.
You're welcome, John.
I appreciate it.
I'll catch up with you later.
By the way, what to watch tonight? Now, I know you're a Louisville fan. You're going to watch Louisville and Navy on the ACC Network. I get that. 8 o'clock start. You should. Hopefully, it's not as good a game. Hopefully, it's about what Vegas thinks. Louisville's a 15.5-point favorite. But if you don't want to watch that, Monday Night Football, Rams and 49ers in San Francisco. The Rams, A, you get to watch Odell Beckham. Now, he'll probably be in on a limited number of plays. Rumor is he may return punts and be in a limited number of plays as a wide receiver. The Rams lost Robert Woods on Friday to a torn ACL. So that's sort of, I said Friday, I thought it was silly to sign Odell Beckham Jr. They've got a wealth of riches. The Rams are all in. They went and got Von Miller. They went and got Matthew Stafford in the offseason. Now they add Odell Beckham Jr. They had Cooper Kupp's the leading receiver in the NFL. They had Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, the tight end. So I didn't see a reason to add Beckham. But now that Woods gets hurt on Friday in practice, out for the year, that opens a door for Odell Beckham Jr. to be an integral part of this offense. Now, I don't know if he will be tonight because I can't imagine he's gotten enough of the playbook in to be a huge factor, at least in the passing game. I'm going to give you the Tim Tam pick of the night, though. I do like the Rams minus the 3.5 here on the road. Rams are 7-2 with Arizona losing yesterday. Los Angeles can now tie for the lead in the NFC West with a win. They still have to play Arizona again in Arizona. They lost to the Cardinals in L.A. earlier in the season. San Francisco, 3-5, missing some people. I think that defense, you'll see Von Miller a lot on the field tonight, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, whoever plays quarterback for the 49ers, I expect to struggle. And I expect the Rams to put a big number up on the board tonight. So I'll take the Rams. But what to watch tonight, if you're not watching Louisville basketball, the Manning cast. If you haven't seen Eli and Peyton talking football, having guests on during Monday Night Football, while you're actually can see the game on two-thirds of the screen, the other third is Eli, Peyton, and their guests, do yourself a favor. It is highly entertaining. 8 o'clock ESPN2 is where you can watch the Manning cast. You can watch the game on ESPN with Steve Levy and Brian Griese and Lewis Riddick if you'd like. I don't think they bring a lot to the broadcast, but if you want some laughs, you want to enjoy and learn some things about football, Eli and Peyton on ESPN2. All right, winners and losers from the weekend. By the way, thank you for playing. I'm not just going to go with Oklahoma only here. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons, who got beat by the Cowboys 43-3 yesterday. The Falcons were the seventh team in the playoff hunt in the NFC going into that game. They're no longer there. And the Cleveland Browns. I'm giving up on Cleveland here. I've given up. That's it. After they beat the Bengals last week, I had some hope for the Browns getting to the Super Bowl like I said they would. They're not, and they may not get to the playoffs. All right, winners this weekend, let's start with Cincinnati. Both Cincinnati's, because the Bearcats are happy. Oklahoma lost. That knocks the Big 12 out of the playoff race here. I can't see any of the Big 12 teams getting back in it. I know Oklahoma State's only got one loss. Oklahoma's only got one loss here. They play each other next week, so one will be eliminated. The other one will be, and they may actually play each other the following week, again, in the Big 12 championship game. Either way, I think the Big 12 has eliminated itself from consideration. The ACC already did that when Wake Forest lost a week before. So Cincinnati Bearcats are big winners this weekend. Big winners, because they took care of business on Friday against South Florida. It wasn't pretty. They didn't crush them, but they got a win. They're 10-0, and if they just keep winning, it's going to be hard for the committee to keep them out of the playoff. The other Cincinnati winner, the Bengals. They didn't play. But the Steelers tied Detroit. The Browns got humiliated by New England, and Baltimore lost on Thursday night in Miami. So the Bengals win by not winning. Winner number two, Big 12 football. Now, they're not going to be in the playoff, but Texas lost to Kansas of all teams, and Oklahoma lost to Baylor. The two teams leaving the Big 12 for the SEC got beat this weekend. And Big 12, the rest of the Big 12 is having a big, big laugh over that. So Big 12 football wins this weekend. The other winners, I'm going to give them to Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to, but he came out. He didn't play great, but he played after no practice, Zoom practices all week. And the Packers are now 8-2, tied for the best record in the NFC. They beat Russell Wilson and the Seahawks 17-0 yesterday. And Cam Newton, he can't go without giving some props to Cam Newton. He only threw four passes for Carolina. He only ran the ball three times, but he ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown, took his helmet off and told everybody he's back, and Carolina knocks off Arizona in the desert 34-10. Losers this weekend, Texas football, enough said. Can't lose to Kansas. Can't do it. Not at home, not anywhere, especially not at home. I don't know where Texas football is right now, but it is not good. And the SEC is going, we took who? Loser number two, ACC basketball this weekend. Louisville lost to Furman, yes, but Pitt has lost. I don't know. North Carolina almost lost to Brown. Georgia Tech lost this week. Boston College, ACC basketball, not off to a hot start. And the NFL is a loser for still allowing games to end in a tie. Detroit, 16. Pittsburgh, 16. The Lions are now 0-8-1 on the season. The Steelers are 5-3-1. We got to get rid of ties. And I don't care how you do it. You got to get rid of ties in the NFL. Do two-point conversions after the first 10-minute overtime. Do two-point conversions. Anything beats a tie. All right, I'll be back tomorrow to talk about U of L Navy. You've been listening to Spears on Sports presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.